Amen. Good morning. Where y'all at? Oh, there you are. Here we go. Well, it's good to see all of you guys this morning. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Hey, for you guys who may be visiting for the first time, I'm Pastor Brian. I'm in charge of the students here, the family pastor, and I'm glad that you are here this morning. Somebody told me to look out because I brought my big Bible. You know, y'all might want to be worried about that. Don't be worried about that. We're good. We're good today. I brought out my good old Bible. Does anybody have one of these old Bibles at home that have literally fallen apart?
Yeah.
Man, these are some of the best ones, right? Yeah, this one they gave to me the day that I graduated seminary, and it's got some good use out of it. So I don't bring it out every so often, but I felt a little nostalgic today. So hopefully you have your scripture with you. Turn to the book of Ephesians, just for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. We're going to talk a little bit about today, about walking worthy of the calling that God has placed on our life. Walking worthy of the calling that God has placed on our life. And listen, I'm going to spoil the end of the sermon this morning, and I'm going to tell you this from the get-go. We need to be walking a life that is filled with faith. We need to live a life as believers, as Christians, as someone who totally 100% trusts in our Lord and Savior, not only for salvation, but for meeting every need that we have in life, and also the ability to share our faith with other people. And when we do that, we will find ourselves being walking worthy. But we really need to take this verse in Ephesians and look at it today and break it down into a couple of different parts and then see what God has for us today. We're going to dive into a subject today that is one of my favorite things in the world, and that is a thing called adoption. Because not only does adoption play a crucial role in our own lives today, here in the world, with our children of the world, but it also has deep theological implications for you and I as we walk this earth together as believers. So look at this scripture today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says this, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling from which you have been called." He says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling in which you have been called. First, we need to understand from this verse that as Christians, we have a calling placed on our life. As people who are filled with faith, we have a calling. And the second part we need to understand is what that calling is and what we do with it. What do we do with this calling that's been placed upon us? I think it's really important for us to understand exactly what a call is. Has anybody ever had one of those phone calls in life that really just, well, it's one of those pivotal moments in life that you remember picking up the telephone and things were different after that? Whether that was a phone call in the middle of the night that someone had informed you that a loved one had passed away. Or maybe it was that phone call from a significant other where you professed your love for each other for the first time. I remember serving at a church in Alabama, and I just got home from Sunday morning. And just like most of us, when you get home from Sunday morning church, what do? We eat lunch, and then we take a what? Take a nap. That's my favorite days. Those naps on Sunday morning after church, I think it's like sleeping on a cloud. You know, it's like, I love those naps in the afternoon on Sundays. Just really rejuvenating. But as my wife and I were fixing to lay down for our Sunday afternoon nap, I got a phone call, and I picked up the phone, and I started talking to a young lady. And I didn't know who this woman was at first. I assumed it was someone from the church calling, and I got her name, but it didn't register who it was. And then all of a sudden, it clicked in my head. So my wife and I had been married for a few years, and we had been trying to have children on our own. And we just came to the realization that that wasn't the way that God had planned to further our family. And so my wife and I had went through an adoption agency, and we had started the process to try to do an adoption there in Alabama. And so we had gone through a few steps and made a few payments to the agency to start building up what we owed them. We had our home study done, and we had been approved, and we were about to get into the list, and they said, well, it'll probably be a couple of years before this whole process is finished, so just be patient, hang on, but God has that child out there for you. We had just got our home study finished about a week before this phone call. And this phone call, as I was going through talking to this young lady, I didn't know who it was at first, and I was thinking it was somewhere local. I kept waiting for, what's going on? She's asking me unique questions like, well, what do you do for a living? I was like, this is a weird conversation to have. What's your family like? And then finally, I was like, just hold on just a second. What's going on? What are you trying to say? And in this phone call, she said, listen, I'm pregnant, and I'm looking for a family to adopt my child. Now, you talk about one of those phone calls that'll change the course and direction of your life, right? Here we were thinking, we've got a two-year wait in this adoption process, and then laying down after a Sunday morning worship service, we get a phone call from a young lady who wasn't even in Alabama. She was here in Louisiana. This was actually a person I had known growing up, but I didn't register the name. She was about 7, 8 years younger than I was. So I was sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, this is the phone call we've been waiting for. And it came way sooner than we thought it was going to. And it was a really cool story. She said, there's two things that I really want. I'm convinced that I've known you for years, known of you for years. This is the family for me. She said, I've got two qualifications. She said, number one, I'm due in 2 weeks. Yeah, okay. So here I am thinking, we've got a couple of years. We'll be fine. No, she says, I deliver in 2 weeks. And she said, the second thing is, I really want your wife in the delivery room with me. That way the child can go straight to you guys. And I said, I think we can make that happen. So you talk about one of those phone calls that will alter the course of your life. Those calls that you get this information that you have to respond in some way, shape, or form or the other. And some of those phone calls are awesome. Some of them are unique. I tell you what, it was a fantastic journey. That's why Caden is with us today, our 14-year-old. We had 2 weeks to get ready. Most people have 9 months. We had 2 weeks. You talk about a quickest baby shower we've ever had in our life. Those kind of calls, those stand out in your mind, those things that your life can never really be the same after you receive them. And God wants us to know this morning that He has a call on your life. He has a call on our lives. And one of those things that we need to understand is when we have these calls, when we have this information given to us, we really can't remain the same. Life is then altered there beyond that call. Because what does a telephone call do? A telephone call is meant to relay messages to you that contain important information for you. Sir, I'm calling you today for this reason. Mom calls and she tells you this information. This is what phone calls are for. But you see, when we look at this in light of what God does and the calls that God gives us, He has messages for us. He has information for us for something that He wants us to do and some things that He expects us to accomplish. And today, we can see from what we're going to talk about today, God is telling us this. He says this, I've called you out of death. I've called you into life. Now act like it. That's His message for us today. I've taken you from the destination of hell. As a believer, you've placed your faith in me. You are now on the destination to heaven. You have life, not only afterlife, but life here on earth. Now, you should respond in a way accordingly. You should walk worthy according to this call that I'm giving you. Now, we're going to switch gears and look at this thing called adoption, because if you are a believer, if you have come to a point in your life where you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you've surrendered your life to Him to be Lord and Savior of your life, you are adopted. Congratulations! Yeah! I know some of you guys are looking at each other, and if you're a young person, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, mom and dad, am I adopted, really? No. Different kind of adoption. You are spiritually adopted. And so we're going to look at the scripture this morning where adoption comes into our lives and what it looks like and how we should respond to it. So get in your Bibles. You're going to get into the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. As you're looking, not only is Caden adopted, our second daughter, Hannah, is adopted as well. We adopted her through the state foster care system, and that was a really neat and different ride for us to go through that. But we have been blessed, absolutely, with our children. I love them to death, and that's just one of those things. Adoption has a special place in my heart. I know many of you guys have adopted members of your family or maybe even adopted children of your own. It's really cool. And if that's the case, because we know the whole idea of what adoption is, let's look at what the scriptures say about us being adopted as children of God. Galatians chapter 4, we'll start in verse 3. Galatians 4, chapter 4, verse 3. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your scriptures, and we thank you for the power that it holds. Lord, this morning, through the power of the Holy Spirit, here's what I ask, that you touch our heart, that you make this scripture clear, and Lord, that you have us respond accordingly. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, when we were born into this sinful world. This sinful world that is absolutely full of hate, it's full of deception, it's full of lies. It's the only family that we really know as sinners, as unbelievers. This is the family that we know. We're born into it, this world. But God knew that if we stayed in that family, the lost family, the family that is not designed for heaven, the things of this world, then we would experience a really desolate life, and the ultimate goal and destination for us as lost people would be hell. But see, God knows this. He makes a plan, and he calls us out of this life. He calls us from this life of death, and he calls us into this life of life. And he has made it to where Jesus has died on the cross for us so that we can have access back to the Father. In other words, when we come to him, we join his family and we become his sons and daughters. It's amazing to me to think back on the book of Romans in chapter 5, where it tells us that God demonstrates his love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, when we were in the lowest part of our lives and sin and debauchery, Christ died for us. He looked at us and said, I love that person so much, I'm willing to make the ultimate sacrifice in order to bring them into my family. And how awesome is it that we have a God that loves us so much that he paid this ultimate price so that we could be part of his family. See, I told you we're not really strangers to adoption here on this earth. My wife and I have gone through the process a couple of times. And there are some extremely cool parallels to adopting a child on this earth to the theology of being adopted as God's sons and daughters. Check this out. When we went to adopt Kate and Aunt Hannah, we were not forced to do it. We had a choice. No one came to me and said, Brian, you either adopt these kids or else. You know, there was no gun to my head. No one forced Kim and I to do that. We chose to adopt these children. Adoption is an absolutely wonderful thing. We did it out of a loving, loving heart. We did not do it because someone told us we had to. And I think it's a really cool thing to look at the way that God has chosen to adopt us into his family. You see, God didn't have to do it. He wasn't forced to save us. He wasn't forced to send Jesus to the cross. But he chose to. And to me, that speaks volumes to you and I, who were once in this life of death, and now we've been transferred into God's family. We've been grafted in. We've been adopted into God's family. No one made him do it. It was his idea. It was his motivations out of love for you and I that he made this happen. Now, once we're here on earth, once we brought our daughters into this adoption process, we had to stand before a judge. And the judge had to make a final decree that we would be the adoptive parents of our children. And once that legal transaction was done, there's no way it could be undone. In fact, they overemphasize this over and over. Are you sure you want to do this? Because once this is decreed, you cannot get out of it. They are your children from here on forever. And so this was a huge decision for anyone who goes through these earthly processes of adoption. Once we sign the paperwork, once the judge places their seal over the paperwork, it's permanent. That child was forever and ever ours. Another thing that's really cool about adopting children here on the earth is when this happens, when this decree is made, when the judge says, legally, this child is absolutely yours, a name change occurs. There's a change of identity. You see, my daughters were not born with the last name of Manuel. They were born with a different last name. But when we stood in front of the court, when we stood in front of the judge, and all this was made legal, they changed their names to our last name. See, we have to go through an identity change as well. And the fourth thing that's really cool about adoption is once this adoption has been decreed, there's zero discrimination against the fact that they weren't biologically ours to begin with. In other words, they have full rights and full inheritance just as if they had been born naturally to us. They're really Manuel's. When you get the birth certificate in, it is listed Brian and Kim Manuel as the parents. Adoption is one of the coolest things to think about when we think about our relationship with Christ. You see, because that day that I surrendered my life to Him at the age of 9, and I knew that I was a sinner, and I knew that I needed forgiveness of my sins, and I looked at Jesus, figuratively, and I prayed to Him, and I said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know I need You. My sins are going to keep me from a relationship from You. I need forgiveness for them, Lord. I believe that You died on the cross. I confess that I need You. Lord, I surrender my life to You. Direct every step of my life from here on out. When I did that, the same type of process that happens when I adopted my children happened to me spiritually. Check this out. The first thing is this. God chose to adopt me out of His love. He did not have to. No one forced Him to. He looked down and saw Brian Manuel and said, I want that guy. I don't know why, but He did. The second thing is once I surrendered my life, once you surrender your life into His hands and claim Him as Savior and Lord, it's a permanent transaction. It cannot be undone. They say in the Scriptures that our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is official. It is decreed. It's permanent forever and ever. We are forever His. You see, you and I also, just like an adoption here on earth, we undergo an identity change. We are not known as people of the world anymore, as people who are dying and going to hell. Our identity has changed. We are now a child of the King, and our names have changed. We are a Christian. We are a believer. We're a disciple. We are a follower. See, we become a different person in our identity. People should know that there is something different about us because we are a child of the King. We have been adopted into His family. And lastly, we have the full rights an inheritance, just as if we were originally born into God's family. In fact, we see the Scriptures that will tell us that we are then joint heirs in God's kingdom with Jesus. We have that same inheritance. Wow. I mean, when you think about it, that God chose us, and that when we surrendered our life to Him, we made this permanent transaction. And our identities have changed, and He has us in the palm of His hand, and we are now known as His children. And one day when I pass away, when I go to be with Him forever, I am joint heirs with Jesus, and I have received the inheritance of my Father in heaven. This is an amazing, amazing, theologically deep concept for us. You see, sometimes we take our salvation very lightly, maybe. Sometimes we take it for granted at times, if we were honest. But the truth is, we need to walk in a way that is worthy of our calling. We have been called to be His children. And because we are His children, He's asked us to do some things. And it's a very simple message this morning and a very short one, to be honest with you, because I think we need to grab a hold of these concepts to know that we are a child of the King. Our citizenship has been transferred to heaven. We are now adopted and grafted into His family. And because of that, He's calling us to do some things. We know the bigger picture. We don't have to live our lives as though we are slaves to sin. We're not defeated. We're sons and daughters of the living God. We're called to walk in a manner that is worthy of our new station in life. We have the awesome privilege of being called Christ's own. So how should we conduct ourselves? I ran across a blog post by John Piper that I thought was really cool. He talks about some of these same topics in one of his posts, and he says this word from the Greek, it's called axous, and the word axous is translated worthy of, which is one of the Scriptures that we saw today. It's used 6 times in the New Testament, and 5 of these verses refer to our acting worthy of God or the gospel or our heavenly calling. Now, I want to make sure that we understand this. We need to make sure that walking worthy of our calling is one of those things that happens after the transaction of salvation. In other words, we don't have to do these things in order to be saved, But in light of our adoption, in light of our salvation, in light of our regeneration, we need to then respond accordingly. So these things don't really have to take place in order for you to be saved. But because we are children of the King, here's the way we should respond. Check this out. These are the verses that appear in the New Testament. 3 John chapter 1, verse 6 says, "You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God." Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in my good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Philippians 1:27 says this, "Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ." Ephesians 1, "Walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called." You see, every time you see these verses, it's always attached to the fact that God has done something incredible in your life. Now we should walk worthy. Now we should walk this life filled with faith. Look back at Colossians 1:10. It says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects." When you read this verse, the book of Hebrews has a very big chapter on faith. So you can jump to chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 6, very, very popular verse. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." Now, let's put these two things together, right? If Colossians says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects," and Hebrews says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please him," the one thing that the common denominator here is, as believers, as those who've been adopted in Christ, those people who have surrendered their life to Christ, we need to be walking a life and living a life of faith because this pleases God. When you put ultimate faith in God for your salvation, your faith doesn't stop there, right? Your life, every step of the way, is supposed to be filled with faith. Because God doesn't just say, "Hey, I'm calling you to salvation, go and live your life however you want to do it." It's not what he does. He calls us to live a life that he's called us to do, to be obedient to him. See, we've got some stuff to do. And just about every time I get to speak with you or speak to anybody, I say, there's a couple of things in life that Christians are supposed to do. Number one, we're supposed to live our life just like Jesus lived his life. And number two is we're supposed to be sharing our faith with other people. And that's going to look different than the world paints this picture of what a person should live their life like. You are going to stand out if you live your life according to what Jesus has called you to do and you begin to share your faith with other people. You're going to stick out like that sore thumb, you know, in a good way. Because people are going to notice a difference in you. And that difference that you are exuding in the world is something that is attractive to them, whether they want to say that it is or not. I've seen many, many people come to me and say, "Brian, I have this hard time living my life full of faith out in the world because they make it difficult, especially when it comes to students. They're mean sometimes." A student standing up for their faith in school, that's the one that gets picked on, right? Maybe you, as an adult, you've been kind of left out of some things because you were a follower of Christ. Those things aren't easy, right? But who is the person that they come to when things go wrong in their life? The person that they know is identified with Christ. The person that they may have been picking on this whole time, when their world crumbles, who do they go to? The one who knows the rock. The one who has been adopted into the family of God. Let me encourage you that we need to walk worthy of our calling, because God has only given us X amount of years on this earth to live, and he's given us some tasks. He says, "I want you to share me with other people, and I want you to live your life according to just the way that Jesus did it." And he didn't leave us alone. He gave us the power of the Holy Spirit to in our lives to help us to do those things. That's the part that sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget that we got the Holy Spirit in our lives who will empower us to help us to do these things, to endure those times where we are persecuted for our faith, but also to be the one that gives us the boldness to share our faith every time that we get the chance. You see, if indeed we are to please God and to be living a life of faith, because we know that through a life of faith, just like the book of Galatians chapter 5, very familiar verse says, there are some fruits of the Spirit when they live inside of us. Those fruits are love and joy and peace and forbearance kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, oh yeah, and even self-control. These are all things that the Spirit brings to our life. So let me encourage you this morning with this. If you're a believer in here, understand that you've been adopted into God's family. And His calling on your life has called you out of a life of death into His life, into His kingdom, into His family. You are royalty. You're a child of the King. And so because we understand that, because we now know that we are adopted into the family of God, we ought to be walking worthy of that calling. We ought to be living the life that when people see us, they don't see us, they see Jesus in us. And because of that, they will be drawn to Him. Not drawn to us, but drawn to Him. And that we are ready to work in their lives. Second thing is this. If you're in here and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you've never come to that point where you realize that something's missing in my life, and the thing that is missing in my life is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Let me just lay it out like this. Today would be an awesome adoption day for you. Today would be a really cool day for you to come and talk to me after we get done, or talk to one of our leaders, one of our deacons, grab somebody next to you in the pew, and just say, what does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to join God's family? We'd love to sit down and talk with you. We'd love to pray with you and to teach you what the Scriptures have to say about salvation, because today could be your adoption day. How cool would that be? Keep moving forward. Keep pressing on. Keep living the life that God has called us to do, and walk worthy of the calling that He's placed on your life. Let's pray together. Lord, You're an awesome, awesome God, and I thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You're all about. And I thank You for saving me, Jesus. I thank You for taking me out of my life of sin, Lord, and taking me into a life of faith. Lord, my prayer is that we as a body, as a family, will keep on pressing on and walking worthy of the calling that You put on us, a calling to be a Christian. And Lord, if there's anyone in here who needs to start that relationship, that they would find one of us after the service. And Lord, we could just show them what You have for them. We love You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.